She's mobile. She is in Houston, Texas. Are you with family? Is it business? What's going on?
It's a little bit of both. It's so funny because the kids are like, Mom, are we going to Houston for work or fun?
Yeah.
And they just all looked at each other and said, never mind.
Yeah, they know.
They said, never mind. They said, don't even worry about it, Mama. Never mind. We already know.
Did they say, can we stay back in Cottage Grove with Dad?
No, because there's only one person they love more than their father, and that's their grandmother.
Yeah. Except when she puts them outside in June.
In 102 degrees.
Yeah. I don't think, Dave, what do you think about the love at that point?
I don't think they're looking at Granny too fondly at that
no.
point.
No.
But children are like fish. Their memories are very short. So they love Grandma. And when they got here, she had all their favorite meals picked out. She had all the beds all separated and ready for them and all the toys out. So they're good. Plus, you know, and I don't know who teaches this to children, how they already inherently know, but they know that Grandma is in charge and can override any decisions that their parents make. So Daniel's supposed to be on iPad punishment.
Not with me.
totally over here.
Soft.
So, you know, I'm not soft, but I'm scared of my mama.
Yeah.
So Daniel's supposed to be on iPad punishment because he learned a curse word, and then he tried it out at school. So
which word?
Hell. Hell. He learned hell, and it probably was at church.
Come on.
And so his ball went up in the, on the goal, basketball goal.
Yep.
at the gym at school. And so he said,
hell yeah.
Oh, hell, what happened to my ball? And so the teacher called, you know, he's got a young teacher. When you got young teachers, they get excited over lots of things.
That's
you know, if there was, you know, a Louise Melvitz, somebody who been teaching for 38 years, that wouldn't have been nothing.
Nothing.
She would have probably said, well, what the hell is going on with you, Daniel?
Exactly.
So the young teachers, they call the house for hell. And so she told me, she said, Daniel said a curse word. And I said, oh, my God, what was it? And so she said, Daniel, you want to talk to your mom? And, of course, he's terrified. He was like, no, don't tell her what I said.
Exactly.
And so he gets on the phone, and he said, I said hell. And so I said, okay, how did you use it in the sentence? I said, what the hell happened to my ball because it got stuck? And I said, okay, so instead of saying hell, how about we say fiddlesticks? And he said, Mom, what the hell is fiddlesticks?
Fiddlesticks.
That's when I knew he wasn't over hell.
He said,
what the hell is fiddlesticks?
Heck would have been the right word there, Shaletta.
Heck, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fiddlesticks.
It was too close to hell for me. I told him fiddlesticks. So he's off iPad punishment until tomorrow. And so when we got to Houston, of course, he took his iPad to his grandmother. And he said, can I play this? And she said,
he's brilliant. I love that. Good move, Daniel.
Yeah, right. And so she said, what did your mom say? He said, Mommy says no, but you can say yes.
Oh, my God. Star of the week is Daniel. Okay, that's great. Okay, so you're saying if you have a policy, okay, and this is what's going on, and you go to Houston, that your mom just says, that doesn't matter because we're at my house?
It happens in my house when she comes to visit me.
Gosh.
If I say bedtime is 7:15 and my mama's there and the kids say, Grandma, can we stay up late? And I say bedtime is 7:15, my mama says, leave them damn kids alone, Shaletta. I'm here. And then I back away from the fire because I don't want it in my life. I see why people treat me the way they treat me because she is 10 times worse than me. And
I don't want it.
You're butter
on the table soft. Dave, this
I
is
am
like
trying to stay alive.
I mean, this is like Dave seeing one of your heroes at the end of their career when they're not quite the same person.
Yeah.
I thought she was tough. I didn't realize she was just like a kitty cat who went in the corner and said,
man,
rub my belly. You know, I mean, honestly.
Like Jerry Rice playing with the Seahawks.
Yes.
I mean, really, come on.
Willie Mays with the Mets.
Yes.
The Twins the last 5 weeks. I mean, jeez.
Man, she is running the show, and I don't want that fight in my life. I don't want it. She's frightening. I'm afraid. And she is, I'm telling you, she's the only person that kept me away from Andrew's prom because I wasn't listening to you. I wasn't listening to you. She's the only person that kept me from volunteering. You told me to volunteer.
No,
I couldn't volunteer.
No, I did not.
The school called me. I didn't ask. That's the problem. See, the school called me.
What a joke.
The school called me.
Because you called them 12 times, and so they just returned your call. Okay, that doesn't count. Hey, call me. It's an emergency. Hey, it's been 5 minutes. Call me. It's an emergency. So they called you back, and you said, hey, I'll be there for prom. And then they said, they're afraid of you, but I'm not going to call that school and say, if you ever have any issues, I've got someone to call in Houston that will put her in her place. Okay, since you're down there, we're going to do one longer segment here.
Okay.
And then I'll let you go. This Diddy story, item after item gets more frightening. It's disgusting. Okay, it's awful. But there was one moment this week in this sordid, gross story that was hilarious. Did you see how Diddy's attorney tried to justify over 1,000 bottles of baby oil found at the house? Did you see that?
I saw it, and I saw Costco say they were like Daniel. Oh, hell no.
Exactly. The lawyer said, Diddy, I can't even finish it without left. Diddy shops at Costco, so he buys in bulk. I mean, I like Costco, too, and I bought a lot of stuff at Costco. But never once Shalette has been, well, the minimum amount you have to buy is 1,100 items.
Well, you go in for the chicken and the hot dog, and you walk by the baby oil and say, get a case. What the heck? I'm
case,
here.
That's
I have a pallet. I need a dolly because this oil's on sale. I can't get it to the car. I got 5 cars outside to get these 1,100 bottles
exactly.
of baby oil back to the mansion. Oh, my God. Costco was like, stop the press.
Costco's like,
I don't
nope.
think so. We don't even sell baby oil. In
exactly.
fact, if we were selling baby oil, we're not anymore. No.
Exactly.
We don't want no parts of this.
About 4 or 5 years ago, they would have been great. We'll work with Diddy. Now, nope.
Oh my God.
Never heard of him.
No way. Okay.
Ring a bell.
Okay, so when you stopped laughing at this, did you get a little bit concerned about the lawyer? Because I'm like, first of all, who says this out loud in public?
Yeah.
And this guy is representing Diddy.
Yeah.
I hope that he is charging half his regular room rate because he is not the person I would want defending me to try to get me out of jail. For Diddy and all the money that he has, I would find different representation. You know, it would be Johnny Cochran if Johnny Cochran was still alive.
I might go with the ghost of Johnny. I might say it's also possible, Shalette.
My cousin Vinny, some damn body.
Yeah, that other lawyers looked at the overwhelming amount of evidence and said, I'm out. I'm busy.
I have some other stuff to do. I'm not going to be doing this. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. It's like day after day after day.
Yeah,
and then, you know, I don't know about you all, but in looking back at, you know, some of the situations that should have raised eyebrows and didn't. You know, Usher living with him when he was a little boy. Him and Justin Bieber going for 48 hours.
Yep.
And you look at Justin and you're like, oh, my God, what happened to him? He just collapsed. He's on drugs. He's doing this. He's doing that. Well, hell, who? He was just the cutest little kid with Puff Daddy and spent 48 hours with him. He came out with tattoos and was on cocaine and hasn't been the same since.
And
we didn't really see it at the time, but, you know, now that we have these details, it's like, okay, y'all have to help me understand. Y'all have kids. I have kids. Is there a celebrity that you would just leave your kids with?
Zero.
I don't.
No one.
Mr. Rogers. I wouldn't have never left my kids with Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Halle Berry, as long as I get to stay. I mean, I don't know if that's an option. Okay, one last thing, and it's serious.
What?
California will issue a formal apology for being complicit in slavery during the 19th century and for enforcing segregation policies against black residents as one of several new laws Gavin Newsom signed. They became the first state to explore concrete restitution. But when we get to other key points of this, in a poll taken last year, 60% of California voters felt that black residents of the state were still being affected by the impact of slavery, but 59% oppose cash payments to slave descendants. So as of now, there's no money that's going up. Costs for a widespread payment plan, which no state has enacted, are estimated to run the hundreds of billions of dollars, and California has faced a budget deficit the past 2 years, like a staggering budget deficit.
If
you're the czar of reparations in this country.
I'm the reparations czar. That's what I'm appointed as.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is realistic? What is appropriate?
Okay, you know what we can do? We can just go by the letter of the law. The law that was never enforced or enacted, the law that nobody ever bothered to implement. We were promised 40 acres and a mule. That's what we were promised. That's on paper. The people signed it, right? And nobody ever got their 40 acres and their mule. So how about we just enforce the law that is already on the books? Keep all these new laws state by state. Let's enforce the federal law that is on the books and give anybody who is a descendant of slaves their 40 acres and their mule. Now, you can break that up by family and say, you know what? Here's your family's 40 acres and your mule, and y'all split that up. This household, you know, so it doesn't have to be I get 40 acres and a mule, Andrew gets 40 acres and a mule, Brandon gets 40 acres. How about you just give the Brundage household 40 acres and a mule? And if you don't have
But is that realistic?
Acres,
is that,
you,
is that going to happen?
Give me the value of it. If I'm the czar, that's what we're doing. We're going to enforce the law.
Yep.
And nobody ever did that. And so, you know, we have to look back and say black people, enslaved people, descendants of enslaved people were cheated. We were cheated. We didn't get what was promised to us, what is on the books. And so stop enacting new laws. Stop apologizing. Just give us our damn land and that mule. And if you don't have no more land to give and you can't find enough mules, give us the cash value of the land and the mule. That's what we'll take. Keep all the state-by-state laws. Just give us what you promised when you partially freed us.
Let's explore this again when we have more time.
Wait, I got to talk about my lock giveaway. I'm in Houston with the Spread Love with Locks campaign that I created with my friends at Amazon. Shout out to Amazon. My friends at Amazon. Me and Jeff Bezos are in Houston right now. And we're giving out 100 locks to families who have kids with autism. Do you know 4 kids in the past 30 days have wandered away from their homes and drowned in Houston?
It's frightening. That scares me to know.
That is so frightening. And so I'm down here and I'm giving away these locks. People like my friend Cindy Lyons with Lyons Public Relations went online and bought locks. So many other people have gone online and bought locks. So I have 100 locks to give away tomorrow from 10 to noon at the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office, where one of the little boys wandered away and drowned, just trying to create awareness and give these locks to people who can't afford them. So that's what I'm doing. Jeff Bezos told me to tell y'all hey. And you know.
Yeah. If Jeff wants to give me a call, that would be fine. That would be great.
Okay.
I'd love to talk.
You don't want me to interview Jeff on Adam and Jordana's show, so Jeff and I hanging out. You want me to call your show?
I'd probably rather interview Lauren, his gal, in studio. You know that?
Baby!
Yeah.
Is she fine or what?
She nice.
She is hot.
She is nice.
Okay, you. Lauren or Halle Berry?
Oh, get out of here. I mean, Halle's number one. So, I mean,
okay, that's what I thought. I was just checking.
Come on.
Who are you talking about? Your loyalty lies.
Thank you. Tell Daniel. Have a hell of a weekend. Thank you. See you. All right. I was going to talk Shawshank. Let's just put that aside. Let's get to that later. Most talented SNL cast member ever.
Oh boy.
Most talented. And I think it's, you have to show your versatility.
Naturally.
Right? You have to show. Okay.
They're all funny. We know that.
Plenty. Well,
they wouldn't get there if they weren't funny. Others are funnier than others. Some never found their stride.
Okay.
But they're all funny.
Okay.
They're all good writers.
Fine. Most talented SNL cast members ever. I mean, Belushi just right there. The different skits that he did. And let's get to this. The most overrated one, without a shred of doubt, is who, Dave Harrigan? Who am I going to say?
You're going to say Chevy.
He's not funny. He is a jackass, by all accounts. He just fell down. He just fell down.
Good pratfaller, though. Real good.
Great. That's, oh, my God, I'm so dazzled by that. I can fall down.
Hey, he brought you Weekend Update. Wouldn't be around without him.
He's
Chevy Chase, and you're not.
He just was the first person who did it. Eh? Okay, who else? Belushi, for sure.
How about Belushi's Blues brother partner?
Aykroyd?
Dan Aykroyd.
I think he's in the underrated category.
A lot of SNL people,
that's what alums, say.
Will say he's the most talented.
That because he could do so many different roles and a lot of times just played the key, like, second or third person in the skit, mm-hmm. which really helped secure and also was a great writer.
Yep.
Okay, Eddie. Eddie's the biggest star to ever come out of SNL. Debate over. There was a stretch when Eddie brought SNL back after the main core left and the numbers skyrocketed, and then he was putting out number one hit after number one hit after number one hit that will never be done again. You will never have an SNL cast member who semi-rescues the show, becomes a phenomenon because of the TV show, and then 48 hours trading places and was blowing away the world.
Yep.
You with me? That's not going to happen again.
I don't think so.
Phil Hartman. Where is Phil Hartman in the mix?
Tremendous, both comedically, and he could play the straight guy in a sketch as good as anyone.
Brad checking in. Will Ferrell.
He's up there.
He's got to be up there.
He's got to be up there, for sure.
He also adds Kristen Wiig, who has to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I blanking right now? I'm seeing her. The female just left a couple years ago, who I think has to be in the top five. She was there forever. Why am I blanking?
I am too.
So funny. So good from her Rudy Giuliani and doing all sorts of people. Who are we blanking on? I'm going to the texting machine here. Adam Sandler. No. Get out of here with that one.
Versatile. He could do some things.
But not the most.
But you...
Episcopal. Not funny. Thank you. Who?
Kate McKinnon.
Thank you, Dan. Kate McKinnon.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going here. Let's go top five.
Versatility? Was that the word you used?
Yeah, and that to me, that's the talent, the ability to do so much. If we got to go five, okay, Kate McKinnon is absolutely my top five.
Fair.
I have her above Wiig. Eddie has to be in your top five. With me?
Yes.
Will Ferrell has to be in your top five.
I think so.
Phil Hartman has to be in your top five.
I don't know that he does.
Really?
I think he's just outside, because I would put Belushi and Aykroyd ahead of Phil Hartman.
Mm. I just would have Belushi. That's what I'd say. And now am I being sexist? Because I've got four men and one woman. Well, the text the other day called me a misogynist. You know what she's saying right now? Vindication.
Yeah. Why do you hate Gilda?
Well, then it's Wiig, right? Who am I taking? What male am I taking out? So... right now, McKinnon, Wiig, let's go, two, Eddie, Will Ferrell, and Phil Hartman. That's my group. Or am I taking Phil over Belushi? I think I am. I think Phil Hartman did so many different roles. Belushi had the four or five where he was absolutely amazing for. But Phil Hartman showed more versatility, right? He just didn't have the three or four where you just were in pain because he was so funny.
Yeah. But, you know, Belushi with the musical stuff, too, though.
Yeah.
That adds a lot.
Tina Fey, somebody says, Sarah Palin was amazing.
Yeah, tremendous writer, obviously, Weekend Update, but she wasn't a huge sketch figure.
Gilda Radner, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
How about Farley?
Hilarious. No, I mean, one of the top five, if you're just going to say funniest, he's on that list. But as far as versatility and talent, I mean, he was every sketch, he was Chris Farley.
Yes.
And I mean, Chris Farley was amazing being Chris Farley,
yes.
But there wasn't a whole lot of change there.
Because Belushi, and they were compared a lot, right?
Yeah.
Belushi showed more versatility than Farley did. Farley, for some of his three or four skits.
Yeah, Down by the River, Chippendales,
yes.
All-timers.
All-timers. And then when he'd be with the stars, like he'd be with McCartney. Go,
oh, McCartney, yes, the Farley Show.
Remember you?
That was awesome.
You with the Beatles? That was awesome.
Idiot. So stupid.
Very, very good.
Dave.
Good switcheroo. All right. You're in charge. I've been in charge 4 days. You're the closer.
I don't know if I want to be the closer.
Well, too bad.
What we see at Target Field.
Too bad.
He's calling me Blewett.
Yeah. He should have had to pitch. They were. I thought they were going to get Blylevin up from Fort Myers. They're running out of people. All right. Tommy. Are you confident? Tommy's won. Are you confident you can make Dave Harrigan laugh?
Yes, I am.
All right, Tommy. 60 seconds. Make Dave Harrigan laugh.
Dave and Chad, you guys know how there's always two names for a medication, right? So there's a brand name and a generic name. Say, take, for instance, Augmentin, and it's an antibiotic. That's the brand name. The generic name is Amoxicillin.
You thought about if you could air that. We got to let you go, Tommy. You waited a second or two. You have a little bit on the delay, and you thought about it. And number one, you didn't laugh. And then you went, number two, I can't air this on WCCO radio.
Yeah. No, those are both correct.
Is that both correct?
That's exactly the thought process of, all right, I'm not laughing, number one. And number two, I don't feel good about that one.
I don't know. Now, what if your buddy tells you that at softball practice?
If it's my buddy and there's certainly nothing on the line, I'll give him the charity chuckle.
Charity chuckle?
But I don't mean it.
Okay. So these are sincere chuckles where for a buddy, you're willing to lie.
Sure. For a buddy, I'm willing to
boost an ego.
Yeah, exactly. But this, we got something on the line here.
Yeah. And most of your charity chuckles take place where? Right here, noon to 3.
Oh, you're going to say in bed.
Yeah.
That's what you're familiar with.
Oh.
It's not a whole lot of charity, though.
Chuckling. That I can tell you. Mike, we'd like to have the joke involve words that, yes, we've heard of, and we're not prudish, but we can air them on WCCO radio. Okay?
Yes, I do. You won't have to hit the dump button.
All right. Mike, you're on the clock. Again, I said clock. You have 60 seconds. Go.
Hey, Dave, did I tell you I watched my first porno the other day?
Uh-oh, I'm worried where this is going
okay.
Now.
Okay, here we go again.
Okay.
Yeah, I was young in that one. Hello, is this thing on?
Wow, I would have laughed in that one. Mike, my switcheroo just cost you tickets because I thought that was funny.
All right. Nine to noon is a terrible on this station, by the way. Have a good weekend.
No, it's not. That's uncalled for.
I'm happy I didn't laugh.
Let's say it this way. Adam's terrible. We'll acknowledge that. Jordan
is outstanding. Right.
We all know that, though. It's a charity thing. We all love Cheryl. And if Adam doesn't have a show, Adam will be staying at Cheryl's house. By the way, next week, let's get Cheryl on the show.
Okay.
We have not had Cheryl on so long. And I'm told by an informed source, when she was asked, what is her favorite show on the station? It's still noon to 3.
Well, not even favorite show, just favorite person.
Well, Chad. No, you, yeah.
Well, let's be honest. She likes you more than me. She likes you way more than Adam.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, I was so close. I was very close.
I was young in that one. That was funny.
It was better than number one.
Better, okay.
It was better than number one.
Okay, I didn't realize the commissioner of humor is now with us.
Hey, you put me in charge.
Kurt, you're on with the commissioner of humor, Dave Harrigan. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon, sir.
So, This woman, we'll call her Mrs. Johnson, goes to the doctor, not feeling well.
Here we go again.
And they go in the exam room, and a short time later, she comes storming out of the exam room, clothes under one arm, still wearing the gown. The doctor follows her out of the room. His face is a little pink from being slapped. His glasses are crooked. And he says to her, "Wait, Mrs. Johnson, you misunderstood. I said you have acute angina."
Thank you, Kurt. Now, was that close?
No, I think we went backwards on that one.
You went backwards.
I think I've actually heard that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the punchline didn't take me by surprise.
A lot of vagina humor that you're involved in, is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not a masochist or not masochist. What's the word I'm looking for?
I'm going to leave you on your own.
I'm fine.
Just going to leave you flopping around,
I don't
so to speak.
I don't deal with only male humor, Chad. I can go either way. I can dabble.
I've heard. Trust me, we've heard. Ken, go ahead. You're on with Dave Harrigan. Make Dave laugh. Hello, Ken.
Hey, hello there. How you doing?
We're well. Go ahead. You're on the clock. Make Dave laugh.
My joke is not so funny, but it's a special thing I need to do this Valentine's Day for my wife. Because last Valentine's Day, I had my second stroke, and she had to take me to ER. So the joke is I had to go to ER on Valentine's Day, and I got to make up to her somehow, and I need tickets for something on Valentine's Day. End of story.
Ken, I'm terribly sorry that you faced that. It's awful to hear you had a second stroke. We unfortunately have rules that we have to follow for this contest. And if we didn't have to go through multiple lawyers on how this was playing out, I would 100% say that your story is better than any joke. But we got to follow that policy, right? And I feel terrible saying that, but we just have to.
Yes. And I don't know where to go from that.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, but we have actual written rules that need to be followed, or else the lawyers are not going to be happy.
Yeah, and then we lose out in other contests. I mean, I've said this many times. I would love for us, number one, to have more contests. And I love where we reward calls, right? But then it's subjective. And they've somehow allowed us to be subjective on the humor here. And, you know, none of the jokes matter as much as that. But we were told in an insistent way we had to stick with what we're doing. So I'm sorry, Ken. I wish you phenomenal health for the next 70 years of your life. Joan, you're on WCCO.
My name is Joan, and did you know I'm a Minnesota twin? I'm a twin, and I was born in Minnesota.
Is there a joke still coming, or was that it?
That was it.
All right, well, it always gets problematic when it's Friday. Thank you, Joan. When it's Friday, we might have to play it again. Should we play it? Should we take a break and take a couple more calls? I mean, I'd take the two tickets. I mean, that's no problem. I think that probably violates the rules, too.
I now wish I would have laughed for Mike.
Can't go back.
You had the best stuff, but you're right. I can't go back.
Can't go
I
back.
Didn't laugh.
All right, we're going to take more calls. Pause. Make Dave Harrigan laugh. 651-461-9226. Back in moments on CCO. Bruno, phenomenal. Michelle Pfeiffer, one of the 10 most beautiful women who has ever walked planet Earth. She's stunning.
Seems a bit off topic, but all right.
Well, no. Said Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, yes, she's in the song. I get that.
Right at the start.
I was very confused.
Yeah, right at the start.
I'm more of a Cleopatra guy. I'm old school.
Okay. Bonus, make Dave Harrigan laugh. Let's go. Renee, you're up. Renee is on hold. Put her on hold. Let's go to Todd. Todd, you're on.
Hey. Hi.
Hello. Go ahead, Todd.
You know, I used to be, I used to be addicted to soap, but I'm clean now.
I don't know why.
I think that's pretty good.
I don't know why.
All right.
Very good. I think maybe as dry as he told the joke. Help it kind of get it. Soap. Yeah, I'm going clean.
Shower
Thank you,
right
shower humor. I'm going with it.
I got like a good clean joke.
Yes. You're the winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Todd, put him on hold. Right. Outstanding. Matthew Collar. Who are the Purple playing this week? Does it ring a bell at all?
Some team from out east, I think.
The Green Bay Packers. What if they beat the Packers? What if three straight weeks they beat projected playoff teams and jump two games ahead of Green Bay? Collar, Mr. Purple, Insider next. And the Am I Wrong Committee, 235, on the home of the Twins, CCO.